of ourselves that maybe we need to relook at the church Jesus died for and the bride who we are to be, right? That's my passion in life, is to see the church. And first, as Ron and I have shared, I forget how he said it, but it starts here behind the buttons, right, Ron? Right here in our own hearts, in our own personal walk, in our own personal relationship, that intimate relationship with Jesus every single day. That's where it starts. And from that place, God begins a kindling work in our hearts
and a revival in our own spirit. And we begin to then align our lives with God. See, I think that is the key piece right there. It's not asking God to bless our life in the way we want to make it. It's us aligning ourselves, aligning our lives with God and His Word. And that's the hardest thing to do, because that challenges us to lay our lives down for Him and to put ourselves aside, our own pleasures. Yeah, there's great things in family and all of those kind of great, wonderful things, but in our selfish culture, as Ron was saying this morning, which is true, they're sending missionaries to Canada. How does that make you feel? Huh? That says the Church of Jesus Christ in Canada is not doing its job. And so, maybe just seek the Lord. This is not about judgment this morning. This is about us re-looking at our responsibility as God's people. And the church, Jesus died to save. And it's not just about coming to the altar and being saved. And I was there, and I gave my life to Christ. That's the beginning point. But then there's a whole journey of stuff Jesus works out in our life. Stuff that Jesus worked out in Stan's life. And He's still working on me. That old song, right? He's still working on me. And that's true. But when we have that daily intimate relationship, we begin to, if we really want to look at obeying the word of the Lord, we align our lives with God's heart. And when we do that, look out. We'll have to get another school to fill. And it's not about filling the seat. It's about us being the church out in the community. And because that's where the people are that aren't saved. They're not going to come knocking on our door, right? And if you look at the life of Jesus, where did He spend most of His time? Out in the streets, discipling the 12, but out in the countryside, out where people were, and ministering to them. All right. Jesus have it all. Sorry, Ed. There we go. Have your heart, my soul, my Jesus, have my hopes, my dreams, my world. With joy I lay it down, with joy I cast my crowns. Jesus, have it all. To you I bring my praise, my lips, my song, a living sacrifice, as one reborn. Your life is now my own, your will is what I want. Jesus, have it all. Oh, Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. To you belongs the glory, the praise of all. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. Oh, blessed.
solid oak. Oh, Jesus, have your church, your love, your bride, the door for which you freely gave your life, radiant and white, washed and purified. Jesus, have your earth, your due, your sum, the praise of every nation, tribe, and tongue, let all that has been made glorify your name. Jesus, have it all. Oh, Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. To you belongs the glory, the praise of all the world. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. All blessing and all honor, all majesty in all. Jesus, have it all. Anymore. The church does not belong to itself. Jesus paid a price that we belong to him. So let's continually give ourselves to the Lord. I like, as Ron does, joke around and stuff like that. But I'm kind of a serious guy. I remember one guy said to me one time, if you're so heavenly minded, you're not any earthly good. I disagree with that. Because for me to be any earthly good, I need to be so earthly, heavenly minded. To be any earthly good, we need to be so heavenly minded. Let's go through those pictures, Andy. We'll start there. I'll cue you to continue in a second. My wife and I, Sally and our family, although I have four boys and one girl, and I've got eight grandkids. 24 years ago, we embarked and heard the voice of the Lord to enter the Saugeen First Nation Reserve. Didn't know how that was going to happen. God put it all the pieces together and put us in connection with a native pastor there many years ago. So for 20 years we were doing children's ministry and youth ministry, a bus ministry. And we were having 50 kids on our bus in the reserve. Now, you have to understand something. Because as I look back on it now, I say, what in the world was I thinking? But God was, in my natural mind, okay, you have residential schools that have taken children from the communities and educated them within a system that was not very, very nice to the First Nations people. As different churches were working along with the government to assimilate them into our Euro-Canadian society. But here stand with the picking kids up on a big 40-passenger white bus. and Saugeen Kids Church, you know. And so picking kids up on a bus, taking them from their home, as I look at it now, in the eyes and the hearts of First Nations people may not have been at first a good image for them. But over the years of knocking on their doors every Monday and talking to everybody and inviting the kids out to Tuesday night kids' church, created so much trust. And yet we go back to that conversation, Ron, of being out in the community. When you're out in the community and you're at other people's doors, you soon understand where people come from, where people are living, what are the issues and problems in their life, what they're struggling with. And to extend a word of prayer to people, to extend a helping hand to somebody who is in desperate need, you begin to see those things. You don't see those needs when we're sitting here in our secure environments. Now, you talk about insecurity. I had insecurity going to the doors, knocking on First Nations doors, because I didn't know what was going to be on the other side of that door. Or I'd been bit by res dogs. I soon started to wear steel-toed boots after that. And it works well. You just have to improvise for the moment. But the trust really began to take hold from the people. They understood and they felt my love for the kids, Sally's love, our team, our First Nation team we had, our love for them. And that is everything. You can say you love a person, but are you expressing that love out in some form or action? What's the saying I have? Compassion without action equals zero. Right? We see it on the TV, right? We click through all the needs, whether it's I recognize her. Okay, sorry. That's her mother. That's right. George, what's your daughter's name? The lady in the yellow. Yes.
Kim,
that's right. Kim's mom, that's right. Yeah, Kim and George, the family. So it's love in action. This is a picture of our Christmas dinner that we had with our group, Saugeen Circle of Friends Fellowship. Next one. No, not that one. Okay, this is this. I'm going to go through these really quickly. I may have shown some of them before, but this is Skavignikan Bridge. It's the Southampton Bridge. We're right at the corner of the bridge. Anybody ever pop by to say hello? We're the green-looking house right on the corner of the bridge there. And they named it that bridge because the school that was involved in renaming the bridge, G.C. Houston, which is over 50% First Nations kids go to that school. So they came up with a name for the bridge that really sent the message of reconciliation. Okay, next one. This is Sally and two ladies selling Every Child Matters shirts on September the 30th, a couple of years ago. Next one. This is our fellowship, our Circle of Friends fellowship up at the back, having a campfire. Next one. As again, that's me and Philip Ritchie. Next one. So something we have tried to implement is Eagles Wings Freedom Session. Hasn't really taken off very well yet. I know it will, because there's such a need for it. It's an inner healing, healing discipleship ministry that deals with brokenness, woundedness. And if there was anybody that was broken and wounded, it was me in my life. Jesus, if you're broken and wounded and have problems in relationship, maybe problems with anger, you need Jesus to help you deal with that, don't we? We try to throw it under the rug, but you know, after a while it creates a hump and we begin to trip over that lump underneath the rug after a while and we say, hey, I need to look at this these issues in my life. Next one. This is Ron and Shirley John. It comes to our Circle of Friends Fellowship. That was his 84th birthday at our Christmas celebration, and they're just a great couple. They're on their journey. They're on their journey with Jesus. They're not fully there yet, but they're such loving people and great people. Next one. It's a view from our bridge there. Next one. This is the celebration of September the 30th. The town shuts down Highway 21 right on the bridge. And we all come together, First Nation community and the non-native community of South Dan and Port Elvin come together and we all congregate right on the bridge. And the mayor and the MPs are there and talk about reconciliation, about us creating a more healthier relationship with the community. Next one. This is the food bank, which they sell clothing and so forth, as you guys do here, that I've helped in build some racks and things. Next one. Next one. This is a local restaurant, Tuggy's restaurant. They were hoping to start services there. That hasn't happened yet. Next one. This is where we do our Saugeen Circle of Friends Fellowship every Thursday night. We are just going to be starting Sunday evening services on Easter weekend Sunday. So this is a big thing for them. We've been meeting for a year and a half as a group, praying together and worshiping the Lord together and sharing together every Thursday night at 7. But now we feel God is saying we need to start a Sunday evening service. Next. This is a young girl that's, make the story as short as I can. She was in our kids' ministry. She grew up, and anyway, she fell to the fentanyl crisis, and her life was taken from her. Her mother, they were doing yard sales to try to build up enough funds to purchase a stone. So Sally and I, through the help of God's people, helped purchase that stone for her to have a proper recognition of her daughter's life, and it so blessed her. Next one. A lot of grave sites on the reserve are just wooden crosses, white wooden crosses, with something etched in the wooden cross because they just don't have the money to have a proper headstone. Next. That's inside of the building where we don't pay any rent, and that's where we do our Circle of Friends Fellowship, right there. Next. That's on the beach there, Sabo Beach. Those of you who remember Saugeen First Nation Sun Territory, in which we actually are living in, the original Saugeen Ojibwe Nation's territory way back when they were here, when the Europeans first came over, they had a reclamation of some land in Sabo Beach as of recent. Next. Oh, not that good at it. No, that's my dog, but she doesn't look like that anymore. She's a brute. And there's our flyers that we put out on a bi-weekly basis for our ministry. Thank you for your support and your prayer. We can ask you to continue to pray for us. There are, I think we had a lot of talks this morning, Ron. He was mentioning some guy down in Yonge Street Mission. He'd come back how long?
I think he was only there 4 years.
4 years, and he'd come back all haggard. Or I guess that's my word of interpretation. But it really, down in the inner city, really takes its toll on people who are helping people and meeting their needs, as on the reserve. A lot of people say, wow, you've been there a lot long? And I said, yeah, we've been there a lot long, working with the people, walking with people, supporting people, helping people. And the number one reason is why we're there is to point them to Jesus, the healer of their soul, the healer of their life. Unfortunately, they were handed a raw deal back in residential school system days when they had a counterfeit of Jesus presented to them through an institutionalized kind of church way, and lots of abuses and so forth. The some of the people, that older lady there, Shirley, that you saw, she was in residential school. She could share some stories. Or some of our group that we meet weekly with, they were in residential schools where their parents were, and they had to deal with the fallout of being a child and living in a world that their parents came home and had to cope with being in an abusive situation in residential school. It's just the stories that they have shared with us are horrendous. And I encourage you to do some education of yourself on residential schools and First Nation people within Canada. This because the First Nation story is a part of your story, our story together. It really, really is. Billy Graham once said, the sleeping giants in North America are the First Nation people. They're the sleeping giants. And many prophecies have gone up about First Nations people bringing in the revival of the nation. And I can see that. I can see that where once all of the abuse and that took place within the First Nations people, the original people, we are called settlers. We've come to settle here. I was just talking to this about my son. With my son, he wants to do one of those ancestry things, right? And I said, well, we have English, and I'm not proud of that. We have some German. We have some Pennsylvania Dutch thrown in there. And I said, I hope I have some Irish in there. So we want to do some ancestral stuff there. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John 15. Or if you have a phone that you have your Bible on there. John chapter 15, beginning verse 1. This is where it all starts, folks, right here. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, people whom he has spent time with and loves, and is ate with, has, you know, spent a lot of time away with. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may be more fruitful. That it may bear more fruit. Who likes the pruning process, of your life? Maybe some of you have pruned trees, fruit trees, and if we don't prune the fruit tree, it's not going to bear, or we're not going to have a very good crop in the fall, especially apple trees. But in our personal lives, will you let Jesus prune out what should not be there? Will you let him do that? I have let him do that, and that's something that's my prayer actually lately. Is that, Lord, you see what I can't see inside of me. And because of my past and my history, growing up with an alcoholic father in inner city Toronto, I've had some baggage to get rid of along the way. And God is still pruning me. Even when there's snow on the rooftop, as Ron said this morning, you're still firing the engine, Ron.
That's right.
That's right. Allow God to prune that stuff out of your life. And that's something you can't do on your own. It's something that a self-help book can't do either. Only that inner working of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, can do and wants to do. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. You want to bear fruit today, or in the coming weeks in your life? Abide in Jesus in that personal relationship with him. He says, then you will bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Even in this church, in seeing more people come to Christ and coming to this facility, You cannot do it without him. You cannot do it without him. And with the leading of the Holy Spirit and his discernment and wisdom. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. This is my key scripture, 8 and 9. By this my Father is glorified. Do we want to glorify God in our life? We're great at glorifying God right here, but how are we doing at home the rest of the 6 days of the week? With our neighbors, with our family, with people in our at our workplaces. Are we glorifying God? What does that look like? Ooh, what does glorifying God look like? Are we swearing around? Or are we criticizing? Or are we sarcastic? That's not glorifying God with our lips. Glorifying God with our eyes, what we watch. Glorifying God with our feet, where we go. With our minds, glorifying God, what we think. What's Apostle Paul says, renew your mind. Let the Holy Spirit renew your mind. We need constant. There's so much stuff that comes in through these portals right here into our mind through social media, TV, news, whatever. And for those of you who like Donald Trump, I guess he won the South Carolina primary yesterday.
Oh, good.
For those of you who didn't know, I'm watching that because, you know, he could end up being the leader of the United States. And I watch the news like that because I'm always kind of filtering through the God's economy and God's end time threat of things. You know, is God going to replace Donald Trump in position for a certain purpose? He did once. Will he do it again for a certain reason? To bring peace in Israel? And we all know what happens when there's peace in Israel. When the Bible talks about when there's peace in Israel, then there's sudden destruction happening.
Yeah.
And the rapture of the church is not far from there.
No.
By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, then you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Who wants to be full of joy?
Amen.
Follow in the ways of the Lord and his commandments. That's what he's telling us. Right? And that's not an easy thing sometimes. Because when we follow in the ways of the Lord, then we're not following our own opinions. We're not following our own thoughts and ways about life. We're following in his ways. And that can create some tension within our own lives because, I've done it this way for so long. About teaching an old dog new tricks kind of thing, right? I've done it this way so long, and my flesh has been active in this area so long, but the Holy Spirit is saying to me, that's not the way this is. So that creates some tension within inside of us. But if we want real full joy, and let's begin to look at the ways of Jesus and follow in his ways. It will bring life to you. It will bring joy and hope to your life. We're going to go to Isaiah 58. Interesting scripture. This, if you really want a good scripture to read, they're all great, but this one just speaks volumes to me about the church, even in the book of Isaiah. It says, cry aloud, spare not, verse 1, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people their sin or transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Now listen to me. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know all my ways. In our minds, that sounds like a very good thing, right? That you have a people, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. To know my ways. There's a difference in knowing and actually applying what you know. And I think in today's age, in our churches all across North America, I remember, does anybody here know Laszlo Gouda? You might know Laszlo Gouda. And him and I used to have these conversations back in the Paisley Missionary Church days. He said, you know, I think we're just a bunch of bloated, fat Christians. All we do is consume knowledge. We take in, we take in, and we take in, and we never apply anything that we are learning or the knowledge we've learned. We just come every Sunday, we listen to the talking head up at the front, and we consume knowledge, but yet we never really apply what we learn. That's a conversation we've had many times. As a nation that did righteousness, carrying on in verse 2, and did not forsake the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you have not taken notice? See, these are people that just wanted to look good on the outside, but did not want to really follow deeply in the ways of the Lord. I'm going to scroll right down to verse 6 there. Because we know about fasting, and I'm not going to get into that because you know that, but God is calling this people to a different kind of fast. It's about our lives as a fast. Setting our personal lives aside to follow in the ways of the Lord. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free? And that you break every yoke, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? How many do that? Bring people to your house, to your own secure and nice, tidy environment, and bring a person. You know, I get people, although I'm not on the reserve, come to my house. I get guys that go into detox into the hospital. They get out and they don't have a ride. They come to my house for a ride to get back into the community, right? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, that your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. There's something happens when we let the light of Jesus shine through us to others. And that's what we're meant to be. Go to Matthew 5. I'm going to close with the scripture. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 13. It talks about pretty much the same thing. Matthew 5, verse 13. Here it is. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Listen, our society and culture says to themselves, the church has nothing we want to hear anymore. The church has nothing we want to hear anymore in our culture and society. Because they're tired of lip service, they're tired of being told, but when we begin to show love in action, that's a whole different story. If I never ever darkened the door of those kids' door to invite them out for 20 years, Stan did that every Monday, 20 years, think about that, making a few calluses. That created trust, that showed love, that helped me understand where these people and little Johnny, when he comes to our kids' ministry, why is he off the wall, right? It's because maybe he's not being taken care of at home, and he doesn't feel the love. Maybe because his family ancestry is because maybe their grandma and grandpa was in residential school and they didn't know how to cope with that. So little Johnny's mom and dad was a recipient of abuse from their mom and dad because they didn't know how to cope with all of that stuff. So it just generationally goes down. So we need to shine God's light out in our community in some way or another. And I want you to pray about that, because it's not cookie cutter stuff. The Holy Spirit is going to say to a person on this side of the audience this morning that maybe, okay, I need to make a loaf of bread to my neighbor that's hurting, that just lost her husband. Maybe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to somebody on this side of the congregation this morning. Hey, you know, that dad needs a hand splitting wood. So I'm going to go help him split wood. And through the splitting of the wood, through the bringing of the bread, you're able to talk and have a conversation. Sometimes it's not even you provoking the conversation. It's you just talking with one another. And as you're praying, God will open up a door for you to be able to say, hey, you know what? Maybe invite them here. Maybe invite them to a women's or a men's thing. But most of the time, it's just you one-on-one. Say, hey, come on out for coffee next week. Well, where's your coffee place here? There is none. That's a laugh of nothingness, right?
There is one. It's called Brood.
Brood?
And it's awesome.
Okay, Brood. All right. I like that. That's a good name. But we have to be willing. And sometimes it's not easy for some of us. It's easier for me than it is for Sally, believe it or not, the social butterfly that she is. And yet, I seem to be the one to be able to just have a conversation with anybody, and on the street or at the front door. But this is what Jesus has called his people to. We let Jesus do the saving, because only he can save. We need to be active in showing acts of compassion, acts of love out in our communities. One thing that I'm trying to help our group, as I was telling Ron this morning, our group loves to stay together, you know, and we just love that security that we have within the group. Well, next Sunday afternoon, we're going to the Southampton Care Center, and we're going to do the service there. So I'm trying to help our group get out of ourselves and say, hey, we can actually be used of God. We can actually love other people than just our group and ourselves. Or we had the Listowel Missionary Church at Christmas time make a bunch of baskets for us, Christmas baskets. They come up and we prayed over them, but I said to the guy who was making them, I said, I want two baskets made, one for each of our group. One to bless them, but also for them to take one of those baskets and bless somebody else. Not your family, not your family member, somebody you may not even know. And go out into the community and bless somebody with a Christmas basket. And the reports that I got back from that exercise was just great. I think one of the guys went to what they call the tin can, which is a few trailers together. That's why they call it the tin can. And that's where drug dealers go. That's where there's a high level of addiction right there. But they went there, him and his son-in-law, and they said, oh, this is for us? Because people who are caught in addiction feel like they're the scum of the community. They are the low life of the community. And they're made to feel like that. But they're people too. And they're caught in a cycle, in a system that they can't get out of. But for somebody to say, hey, you know what? Here's an olive branch of love through a basket, a simple basket. But it puts you in relationship with other people. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Let me continue on, and I'll close with this. 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. I'll just say as it came to me right now, like this church right now is hidden from its community because we're here, but we're meant to be here for a reason. Ephesians 4 says God has put in place apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Every week that Pastor Dave comes here and you're sitting and he's in front of you, he's equipping you to be out there during the week. This is your training ground. Your missionaries the rest of the week out there. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're all missionaries. To your family, to your co-workers, to your neighbors, to your community, and wherever your rhythm of going and coming is. We're all called to be missionaries. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We talked about, do we want to glorify God? Well, God has prepared us, as the word says, for good works, for this time, right now, this hour, where we are, for us. There have been times I wanted to throw in the towel up there because it's really, really hard. You make two steps forward and a dozen backwards sometimes. And I've had some pretty tough blows of financial stuff over certain issues. And God has kept us there. There's been times I tried to get away from that place and put out my resume to maybe be a pastor in a church here or another. Man, God just closed the door all the time, and he continues to keep us there and say, okay, Lord, I get it. I get it. I don't want to be a Job. I don't want to run from the call of God. And I hope you don't want to run from the call of God on your life as has his beautiful bride. You're his beautiful bride. And he's coming back for his beautiful bride, a prepared bride, a pure bride. I pray this week as you ponder, maybe go through Matthew 5, 13 to 16, or John chapter 15 on the vine and the branches. Put yourself in those scriptures. Because as we do that, allow God to realign your heart to his. That's all that is. And he will do wonderful things through your life if you're willing to step out, say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He will.